Church family, God has spoken. God is doing something. And we need to not just accommodate that, but we need to receive what God's doing right now. He's doing something very peculiar in your life and in mine. And all this week, I was in South Carolina. Thursday, I flew back home. All on the plane, the Holy Spirit was showing me people that, and when I say this, I'm not trying to, it's weird stuff here, okay? Is that they were listening to the wrong voice. All this week, there's been an onslaught of the enemy of speaking louder than the voice you're used to listening to, the voice of God. And you and I must understand that in times of our lives, there are specific, we always talk in the spirit realm of the church corporately, but I want you to understand there's a corporate demonic influence that uses religious or religiosity by people that don't know God. And it becomes a worship to them. You hear it on the news. You hear it in the blogs you read. Everywhere you go. And the Holy Spirit just last night, this morning. Matter of fact, just let me just show you experience that I experienced Saturday morning. I came in my office and I sat down and there was just this immense move of the peace of God in my office. To the point where I began to pray because I was going to pray over you. I was going to pray over the notes that I had prepared months ago. And there was just an amazing move of God to the point I had my eyes closed and I opened my eyes thinking I was going to see a vision. That's literally how close the peace of God was there with me. Now, because of my personality, I'm thinking, I'm here, I've been away, and my call is to pastor. And this is a place where I hear God in my office. It wasn't that. It was a prophetic experience that what God was going to do with us today. It was a move where many of you walking in love God with all your heart. You've prayed, you've journaled, you've done a lot of the things that you normally do as a believer, and you're doing the right things. But there's this spiritual battle that's going on. And I'm just telling you what it is. But what God's going to do today, we're going to pray, but specifically for healing. But we're going to experience during the message today, and some of you are literally going to be like me, wanting to look and see the presence of God. You're going to almost like you see Him. That's where I was yesterday. I felt God. I saw God in my spirit. I saw the power and the authority of God. And the rest of the peace that I felt was so immense. I talked to about five people about it yesterday because it was such an experience. I've had a little of that before, but it was deep. God's moving in your life. And He prophetically showed me what you're going to be experiencing. So if there's healing that you need in your body, I want to pray for you specifically as I stand here, that this house is a house of miracles.
That's right. Yes.
And that healing is not only physical, but it's emotional.
That's right.
And you're going to hear the right voice today. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an amazing God over this house. Jesus Christ is Lord of this place. There's no demon in hell. There's no demonic influence that can overwhelm the truth of God, who you are. Father, how David expressed his thoughts about you and your giftings and all that you've done because of who you are, not because we've done something good, but because you're good. You are a good God. And I proclaim now in Jesus' name, healing over our bodies. Nerves that would just absolutely be healed in Jesus' name. Pain would subside in Jesus' name. I proclaim now that in the reality of the words that we've said in our past, the grace of salvation is received, and even the power of those words no longer have power in our past. The vocabulary, the vulgarity of what people have said, what people have done, no longer has power over you and your children. In Jesus' name, the presence of God is moving. And Lord, as we recognize who you are in a greater way, that we will understand the greatness of our God and the greatness of that healing and the move of God in our lives. I come against the emotional turmoil that has brought depression in some that are watching online, that you've been searching online for an answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you continue to listen to this service, this time with these great people, Valley Community Church, you will begin to see the wholeness. You will feel, you will recognize the peace of God in every area of your life. And you will be able to walk straight. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic word that is just unloading itself on this house. Move mightily in everything we touch. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord an applause, would you? Amen. Well, before you're seated, I do that once in a while because, you know, we get so used to what we do. I just want to mess with you a little bit. That's my weird personality. Before you're seated, high five somebody, and then you can be seated. Well, I'm wondering if there's a football game going on today. Yeah, I know. I know. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I love football. I'm looking forward. I'm recording it so I can watch it tonight. Well, good morning. So good to be back home. And a big thank you to Pastor Ryan for his great message last week. And just really enjoy the depth that was brought to you. And it's great. I learned a lot from him as I watched. We have a great staff too. And leaders that love Jesus with all their heart. And because of them, because of you, my wife and I have the ability to periodically just have a vacation to we can spiritualize it, and it's true, and Sabbath. And even after 44 years of marriage, we continue to strengthen our marriage And we had an amazing time. And you know what? I really like my wife. You know, there's some people who love their wives and spouses, but they don't like them. I like my wife. And, you know, I just, what a joy it is to spend time with her. But again, it's great to be back home. I love what I do. A few weeks ago, I began a series with you called God-Given Benefits. And I'm going to ask if you would click your tablets or turn your Bibles to Psalm 103. And remember, we talked about how David learned through worship, through the expressive worship, how to speak to himself and to speak to his own soul and remind himself of the benefits and the relationship he had with his God. And with that understanding of the writing that we're seeing in Psalm 103 and all throughout the Bible, I want to encourage you to continue, even in the times of today and what's going on from riots and all kinds of words and vulgarity that is out there, that you tune in to the things of the Lord and speak to yourself in a very strong way of who God is and the gifts that he has given you. Today we're going to talk about a supernatural crowning or crownings. In Psalm 103, this is a list of the gifts from God. And we found out at the beginning of the series that you don't earn them, that they are given and you receive them. You receive them with faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, David speaking to himself, and we hear it too. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what David, again, bottom line, said, don't forget him. We have to base every decision that we have in life, when struggle comes, when tribulation comes, when we are enjoying life and things are well in our life, we need to keep putting in front of our thoughts the gifts of God and who God is in our life. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities? We talked about redemption. Who heals all your diseases? Divine health, who redeems your life from destruction. And then he says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What I, in my studies, in my thoughts of this, I'm sure some could teach in a greater way, but what I really experience in my study is what David is really trying to do. He's trying to settle himself down of recognizing that everything that he has, all the appointments, all the call that he has in his life is based around that God placed it in him. And that God is so loving and kind and merciful. And with all that he was going to do, all that he did in his life, he had to be loving and kind and merciful. Because when we hear the word crown, and we'll talk about this, we have a tendency to think about, I'm the head cheese. I'm the one. It's me. It's what I do. It's what I say. Kind of like, do what I say, not what I do type mentality. But he says, who crowns you with loving kindness, who sets something, an anointing, a call on your life, an ability in your life, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. First of all, I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. It's a gift. So we need to kind of dial in here. We need to figure out what is David really talking about. So another question, what does it mean that God crowns you and me, the believer, with loving kindness and tender mercies? What does that mean? That we walk around as a wimp? That whatever happens, just whatever, I'm a Christian. You know how some people say, well, how could you not do that because you're a Christian? Or how come you didn't give that because you're a Christian? That's not what this is talking about. So let's ask three questions today. Let's really dig into this. And the first question is, what is a supernatural divine crown? Crownings. Since God crowns us, obviously we need to understand what we've been crowned with is divine and it is supernatural. It is something that moves in and through our lives even when we're very loving and kind and not strong. So what God is bringing to us, a crown all through Scripture represents authority. And in today's society, that's what people are desperately looking for. They're looking for authority so they could be the head person, so they could make those choices. So God gives us authority, and he wants us to walk with authority on this earth. But what does that mean? Does that mean that you've seen people. You know, they're this loving, kind, funny person, always joking around, always helping, and all of a sudden they get a position that, and they walk around like they're, you know, God's gift to the world. See, what's sad to say is in our culture, that's what a lot of people do. It's because they don't understand crownings. They don't understand when God gives you authority, what that authority is for. So I want to remind you that Jesus, God's Son, walked with authority, and he's our example. In Matthew 7, it says this, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." When we read that, we think, oh, yeah, okay, authority, that's Jesus. What did he teach? What was the premise? What was the culture of the teaching? I'm using the word culture for a reason here. What was the culture? What did he say before? Oh, well, we can go back in the beginning of the chapter and we can read and, you know, the Gospels and find out. But really, why did they say he is one of authority? They never heard teaching like Jesus gave. So what did they hear? My question to you, what are you hearing in your life? This was the end of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So the question is, where did Jesus get that authority? Many people think he had it because he was Jesus, all right? But you must understand something about authority. Listen very closely. All authority is given. If you look at Scripture right before the Great Commission, it says, "Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always till the end of the age." But right before that, Jesus said this. Listen to this. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," this is actually the red letter part of your Bible, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority has been given to me. This is Jesus. wasn't because he was Jesus. It was given to him by the Father. John 13:3 says this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. So please know, regarding authority, this chapter is also where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. So he was given all things, he was given all authority, and he washes the disciples' feet. Why would he do that? He's a head cheese. He should be walking around, you know, like the head dude. So think about this. How could he wash their feet? How could he wash their feet even though Jesus knew the Father had given him all things? He could have said, you wash their feet because he's the boss. Jesus knew he had authority, but let me say this to you. But Jesus knew what authority was and what authority was for. Okay, so stay with me there. And I want you to focus on this because we see authority, good authority and bad authority in our lives. And what I'm trying to help you is to recognize what real good authority is all about. Authority is given, but authority can be taken away. Authority can be lost. Now, if you've been given authority, it's a gift, but remember, you can lose because of thoughts, actions, or a cultural way of thinking. So authority is given by God and God alone, even though you are walking in authority in your business or your job. That's been given to you by God, using someone else to apply that. So you can have the position and the title also and not have authority. Someone could be given a title, but God hadn't given them authority. Why would that be? All right, so these are the things, this is the questions that we need to ask. And why I'm doing this is because the main reason why you and I, every one of us, have the authority of God and what it's for. So with this in mind, we know positions come with responsibility. Now, I know there are times when people have positions of authority and they don't have authority because authority will come from God and God alone. God is the one that appoints authority. But remember, when we don't understand it and we don't walk in it and use it properly, that it is taken away. And we have to understand that's why people fall. That's why people struggle in life. God has given you authority over serpents and scorpions. All right? But what is this authority? What does this authority do? How do we receive authority and how do we use that authority? This is my goal today. So, authority does not come from the way you talk. In Jesus' name. That's not authority. That's just because you're emotional and the authority you have on the inside, you do that. Authority doesn't come from the way you walk. It doesn't come from the way you carry yourself. Jesus walked as a lamb. But we also know he's a great shepherd. So keep looking at both these things. Before Jesus became a shepherd, he became a lamb, the Lamb of God. Jesus didn't walk on this earth as a know-it-all, even though he knew it all, or some big shot, but as a loving, kind, merciful Savior. We lose that in our Christian walk. When we were first born again, we knew what we were saved from. And we were expressive about what he saved us from. 20 years later, 30 years later, 5 years later, we forget what we were saved from and how God was so merciful. Because why? Now we have authority, but we don't understand it. Let's keep going. Yet Jesus had great authority because it was given and because he kept the heart of what God does with authority. The reasoning of authority, why you have authority in your life. So many times when we read he crowns us, we only focus on the crown. The crown is for authority, but Jesus walked with loving kindness and tender mercy. Everyone who comes in contact with Jesus knew he had authority. Why? Because of loving kindness and tender mercy. The words were bathed. The Bible doesn't record every word that he says to people. But everywhere he went, his words were bathed with loving kindness and tender mercy. Even in the area where he turned the tables in the temple. Well, how? No, that was authority. He couldn't turn the table. Wait. He looked at all the people that were lost and how the church didn't care. Because he loved and he was merciful towards these, he's going to make a change. Follow in your life the things that you've experienced in your life. At times, we want to be in charge. I don't understand what's happening in my life. Authority is what are you doing with that authority that God's given you? Sometimes people who don't have any kind of position or title, but they know God, sometimes they walk in more authority than those that have titles and positions. So what is a supernatural crown, divine crown? It's authority. God's given you authority. All right, so that, now that we know that, here's the second question. Why are we crowned? God crowns us to reign in this life over sin and death. In Romans chapter 5, verse 21, it says, so that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what Romans 5, 21 is telling us. Sin reigned in our lives, and death reigned in our lives until grace came and God crowned you with authority over sin and death. Crowning, supernatural crowning. Sin and death reigned in our lives, but now when we accepted Jesus Christ, grace now reigns in our lives. So then how do we reign in this life? Go back to verse 17 of the same chapter. For if by one man's offense death reigned, Adam, through the one. Now, this sentence is a little hard to understand, but I'll explain it. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace, the gifts of God. Remember, that's what Psalm 103 is doing. And of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So how do you reign in life? It's not by doing. You reign in life by receiving. By receiving an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So let me confess here. I need personally an abundance of grace every day. Now I'll say this. I'm called, I'm gifted. I've done a lot. But the done that I've done is because I understand grace. That's why I do what I do. Same thing with you. Yeah, I'm gifted, but if I don't understand the gift of God, the crowning, the authority, and loving kindness and tender mercies, then what I do has no power. Because I'm doing it just to succeed. God has already, Pastor Dan said it, I was laughing down there when he was talking about it, that Jesus can't fail. And if you're in Christ, understanding grace in him, then you can't fail. Amen. If I had a pen, I would have scratched that part of my notes out because Pastor Dan said it. But the reality is you and I have to understand you are so amazing in the kingdom of God, not because of what you do, but it's because of who he is and what he gave you. And when you understand it properly, then everything you do will have the power of God to succeed in life. That's what this is about. That's what David, because David is facing all these things. He's facing, in his life, he's faced ridicule. You're little, you're small, you're no good. He's done great things, and people were jealous, and they tried to kill him. And then he becomes a king, and he becomes a little into himself, and he sees Bathsheba, he sins. He commits murder. He does all kinds of things wrong. But I'll tell you what, he's the apple of God's eye because he came back. He always came back to realizing, yes, I need more grace in my life. And God, you are loving and you are kind and you're merciful to me. Even though yet I was a sinner, now I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now watch this. So saved by grace, that grace is so powerful, I don't proclaim myself as a sinner anymore. I'm a righteousness of God in Christ who at times sins. But praise God, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive me of that when I confess it. Now why do I confess it? Not because I'm a good Christian. I confess it because I understand God's given me authority. He's crowned me with that gift of authority to overcome sin and death and the power of sin, which is death. Whew. Are you with me? Okay, let's keep going because I got some more here. So, how do you reign in life? Again, it's not by doing. You reign in life by receiving. So every day I have to recognize, when I recognize that the gift of authority, crowning, is over sin and death, then every day I need more of that grace. I need more of that gift. So that I can, everything that I do is done by the revelation of I'm redeemed, I'm saved, I'm an overcomer because I'm in Christ. So abundance of grace is literally this, is a lot of God's enabling, his power, his mercy, and his forgiveness. I'll say that again. What is the abundance of grace? It's a lot of God's enabling, his power, his mercy, and forgiveness. But the problem, again, is there are some believers who don't really believe that they still need an abundance of grace. Because you're good at what you do. You're a good believer. Now, they're leaders in the church sometimes. And they're doing so well. They're reading the Bible. They're praying. They attend OSL, which is great. And we need to do that. That's part of discipling. That's that lifestyle of, see, what discipling is reminding you who God is. It's speaking to your soul. When you go to discipleship, it speaks to your soul as well as your spirit. So all this helps us to receive grace, but we still need abundance of grace every day. My brother, when I play golf, I tell my golf buddies, my brother always said this, when someone makes a really good shot, I'll say, great shot, and I'll pause a second, and then I'll say, don't get cocky. My brother, older brother, used to say it to me all the time. Great shot, Gary. Don't get cocky. And so literally what Scripture's telling us, great job. Don't get cocky. Then it says the gift of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. So the only way we are in right standing with God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works. Right standing with God is a gift. That's how we reign in life. David constantly reminded himself of this truth. In Revelation 5:10, it says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. So God has redeemed us out of every tribe and every tongue, every nation, and has made us kings and priests. Why did he make us kings and priests? So let me just explain this to you, and this is, you can write this down. Because a king reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, and a priest connects people to God. Think about it, what I just said. A king reigns. He's crowned us with authority. A king reigns, and a priest leads people to God. That's why you have authority. You reign in your life leading people to God. And you do it by being loving and kind and merciful. I was telling Jack, and he's directing online here, and I said, you know, there are many times through the years, especially being a supervisor and things, that I've had to work with it. I don't want to use the word confront because I don't like to confront. I like to work with people. But I'll use the term that I've had to confront things. And when I did that in confrontation, there was a lot of pushback in things. But I learned as in the pushback that I would walk in my authority with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I found many times that there would be changes in the attitude of the people around me. God wants you to reign over sin and death in this life and help other people reign over sin and death. So that's what we do. That's your life. There are times you will be, because I've been so loving and kind and patient with something that, you know, maybe some business people would say, you should have fired them right there. You should have done this. There are times that I've waited because I was waiting on the wisdom of God. And in the process of that, I was being loving and kind and merciful. And I have found in most cases, there would be a godly change. Once in a while, it backfired on me. But you know what? I'm big enough to handle that. Because what I want to be in the authority of God that he's given me, I want to lead people to Christ, don't you? I want my children, my grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, I want them to know God. I want them to see the heart of God. And there are people that are evil out there, being influenced of satanic influence. And there are times that you want to just, okay, you know that. We're all like that. But you pause and you hear the voice of God and you walk in the authority. Because the reason why you do, the why you say what you say, is why? Because you want people to know God. Amen. Because sometimes in my life, is this you sometimes? I think I have a better idea than God does. Because I'm mad. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do no matter what anybody says, right? And I've learned through the years, the authority that God's given me works powerfully when I live my life the way God has asked me to live. The reason we can reign is because God gave us authority. And the reason Jesus walked with authority is because he knew he received the authority from the Father. So listen very intently here. I wrote this down. Our Father has invested authority in us to represent him. Represent him to the world. And that means sometimes even stepping back and allowing other people to rise up. That's why, yes, I'm the lead pastor here, but that's why I sit over there during the services. I don't sit up here on a throne, you know, and look over everything. Have you ever gone to a church that way? Now, I'm not coming against them. That was the old way of doing things. But I sit down there, or I'd sit in the back pew, or up in a balcony, wherever God would have me to go, because what I'm doing is I know I have authority, but I want to release others to walk in the same authority. My heart is not about position. I don't care about position. Matter of fact, my greatest joy in my life of 46 years of ministry is when I was an assistant pastor. I was able to carry another man's vision and walk in loving kindness. I served for 18 years, two men of God, 15 years for one and 3 years for another. And I gave my all to that because now I was given authority, I walked in authority, but I loved when I had the ability to help someone walk in their authority, their call, and bring others to Jesus. That is called honor. A person who walks in true authority walks in true honor. So he has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Here's the third question. I'll conclude with this. With what are we crowned? The reason why I ask is with what we are crowned. I think we focus too much in the body of Christ with the crowning part and not with what we were crowned for. Psalm 103, verse 4, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, not just kindness, but loving kindness, not just mercies, but tender mercies. See, by the way, the word has a second meaning in Hebrew. It means surrounds. The same word there means surrounds. God surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Our God is famous for mercy. And that's why, you know, I hear people all the time talk about this God. You know, why would God? He is a merciful God, no matter what you experience in your life. He is a loving God. It's people that mess it up, not God. So Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So leave here with this thought today. We should be the most merciful people on the face of the earth because we received mercy. we should extend mercy. You know, you can put this on, you know, all the different categories on the computer. God is so merciful that even his throne is called the mercy seat. Hebrews 4 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." David was reminding himself of what that throne is all about, what the crown is all about, how great your God is, how wonderful and loving and merciful he is. And what you're going through, he is there. He hasn't left you alone. Psalm 25, 6, David uses this all the time. "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are from old." Psalm 40, 11, "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me." In Psalm 51, 1, David is confessing adultery. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." So David used this phrase a lot because he understood he received an abundance of it from God. He believed he received a gift of righteousness, right standing with God. He also understood the authority he had, and that authority was given to him. He didn't earn it. He received it. And he also understood, because he experienced it, it can be taken away. That authority can be taken away. I think if we will walk in humility as believers with kindness and mercy, then we will have an authority that is so powerful that when people will say, you know, I'm in bondage to this. We had a whole series on bondage and freedom. But if we understand what this crowning is about, what this authority is, that any bondage that we have, or anyone you're ministering to, any family member that you know that is in bondage or something, they can be delivered instantly because they understand the grace of God. And I'm saying to you, there's not one thing in your life that's too hard because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God. You can overcome everything through Christ. But as we talked about humility, we need to remove arrogance of focusing only in the reigning part over people instead of over sin and death. See, my authority is not about over people. The more authority you have in the kingdom of God, you know what that means? The more people you serve. The more people you love. The more people that you have tender mercies. In this world, yeah, they might deserve something, but you have tender mercies. So we must turn it around by representing loving kindness and tender mercies to everyone around us. Now, in conclusion, never forget how God crowned us. I'll say it again. Never forget how God crowned you. God took the crown off of his son and put it on us. And God took the crown that was meant for us and put it on his son, that crown of thorns. Matthew 15 says this, "Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him and bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. The King of the universe took our crown, and the Father of loving kindness and tender mercies put that crown of authority over us. The 24 elders around the throne knew this. In Revelation 4, says the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Shall we all stand? Wow. What are you battling? The authority. It's real. Attitude check. I do that every morning. Every morning. Attitude check. Because I'm human. Type A personality. I want it now. Get her done. Many of you, same way. Attitude check. And how do you check your attitude? I got to be better. No. How do you check your attitude? You begin to realize, tell your soul, how great that gift of authority is. You and I have the ability to touch your neighbor, the person at the grocery store, with Jesus Christ, with a life of graciousness, acknowledging people. Simple as this. Acknowledging people. You know, I'll just tell you, California, you know, you walk down the mall or whatever, and everyone's like this. They don't look at you. They don't acknowledge you. They're the only ones in the world, right? You go to the South, everywhere you go, hey, how you doing? And everyone's acknowledging. Now, I'm not saying anything's better. I love Southern California. But here's the reality. We need to start acknowledging people. Not because we're a nice person, because that day they might die and go to hell. We need to acknowledge when people are angry and mad and hurt you and say things. We need to acknowledge when they act like that, they're not being led by God. They're being led by their life, their soul. And they haven't spoken to their soul like David did or you and I do. They don't remind themselves how great their God is and how loving and merciful he is. And you bring it into a reality. Can I pray for you? I really feel like a father with his kids right now, and I'm not trying to put myself into that place. But that's what I sense the Holy Spirit doing. It's okay. It's okay, all that. It's okay. May the peace of God overwhelm this house. The extension into our homes and our places of business. Teach us, O Lord, of your great gift of crowning with that authority. And how that authority extends in such loving kindness and tender mercy. Blessings upon everything we put our hands to. Why? Because we recognize and our soul is in line with our spirit in loving people, acknowledging people, honoring others. And Father, with even all the leaders in this house, oh Lord, overwhelm us with the reality when we're appointed a leader, we get to serve others. We get to love other people. We get to say, you know, you go first. That our attitudes can be of, oh, it's great to be in church because I get to serve and love other people, acknowledge other people. And then last of all, we can come together corporately and acknowledge you. Our great and mighty God, we worship you today. We acknowledge you today. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the benefit of being a believer. Help us to walk in this. Remind us every day, Holy Spirit. Teach us this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love you. Have a blessed afternoon. See you tonight at 6.